God's Word is filled with paradoxes. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July provides lenses to evaluate and bring clarity to these paradoxes. It's titled, Faith That Sees Through the Culture. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month, Faith That Sees Through the Culture, 1-800-325-3040.
The left is saying stare decisis, stare decisis, stare decisis when it comes to abortion. And that reason is that the language of Roe cannot be sustained by the Constitution of the United States.
If we would just take a pen and underline every time he mentions the Father, Jesus makes it crystal clear that we don't have a vote in this matter.
The reason to be a Lutheran, marry a Lutheran, stay a Lutheran, is so that I am always receiving this grace in a church that's preaching it in Christ crucified for me.
Pastors, thankful for the last 10 years of Issues, Etc., give thanks to God. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
It's not an easy thing to do, but I think it's fair to say that the reason that Issues, Etc. as a program has continued to improve over the years. We just recently celebrated that 10-year anniversary after coming back on the air. I've been hosting this program for 20 years. Jeff has been with it for 25 years. It's a long-term project, and it is, in a lot of ways, our life's work and the way we make our living. It is the way we make our living. But the reason it's been able to improve over these long years is because we've had a little policy. Well, it's not an easy thing to do. No one likes to hear criticism. We listen to it. We try to the best of our ability to listen to the criticism, even the criticism we disagree with, and say, is there a point here? Is there something that we could do better, something we could improve? And in that sense, the credit then goes to our listeners, because our listeners, while being faithful and in listening and supporting, also feel no compunction whatsoever about offering their criticism to the show, and we welcome it because it only makes the show that much better. That's why we have a listener email, in part, for criticism, but also for their great suggestions and their questions and their comments, and the Issues, Etc. comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and our comment line, 618-223-8382. We'll be going through listener email and the comment line. Then, in the last half hour of the program on this Thursday, we'll talk about contemporary worship. Was it really, really about attracting new members to the church, or was something else at work in this push for contemporary worship across denominational lines, especially within Lutheranism? Pastor Kevin Martin will be our guest, author of a column for First Things titled, Co-Woe, No Grow. That's in about a half hour here on Issues, Etc. But it's time for listener email.
Here's a listener with the surname Your Dad. He writes, you took over 20 minutes to get to the emails in the responses to listener emails. Everything before that was self-serving. This is partly why I don't listen anymore. Way to fail. Thanks for the feedback, Your Dad.
Well, see, there's a good example of what I was talking about there. I like the fact that it's not my dad, by the way. My dad would just call me.
My dad doesn't have an email, so it can't be my dad.
So that's part of it illustrates what I was talking about. I think it did probably take 20 minutes for us to get to
more.
Email. What's that?
More than that.
Yeah, more than that.
Remember, because you wanted me to go into the homemade water sprinkler project, and I refused to go down that track, because we spent a half hour talking about Yadier Molina and the St. Louis Cardinals and that kind of stuff.
It was mindless banter. Folks, we're just trying to fill the air when we're doing this, so you know you need to cut us a little bit of slack. But I agree. I mean, we promised to listen to our email and the Issues, Etc. comment line, and if it takes 20 minutes to get to it, that is a failure. There's no doubt about it. So thank you for the criticism. We will use it to improve the program. I actually don't like the mindless banter. To me, it's kind of lame, but we do hear from listeners who say they like the mindless banter.
I don't like listener email, period, because that means I have to turn this on-air mic on. Having said that, but you know as well as I did, matter of fact, that day that we did it, we had an email complimenting us for talking about the firing of Cardinals manager Mike Matheny. Let me just issue two caveats here. Maybe, we should have a poll on should mindless banter be a part of listener email, or maybe we should have a separate podcast where you and I just talk sports, politics, pop culture. You would have to do more than, well, neither one of us are very good at that. And we could just make it a separate element. And maybe we should conduct a poll. Or maybe we should just forget it altogether. But my second caveat, I have to say this, Yadier Molina, greatest catcher in the history of Cardinals baseball, probably a future Hall of Famer.
I'm putting a clock on this, by the way. So
good.
All right.
Here's the story from MLB after Tuesday's win. A perfectly executed bunt play kept the Cardinals alive in the 10th after Sam Tuivalla allowed the first two batters to reach to open the frame. So grammatically, it's already wrong, but it gets worse. That set up a sacrifice bunt situation for Reds catcher Kurt Casale, who bounced Tuivalla's offering off the plate and into a charging Jairo Muniz's glove. Muniz's glove. Following Yadier Molina's aggressive call, Munoz spun without hesitation to get the lead runner at third. So Munoz, whatever his name is, makes a very good play. But had it not been for Yadier Molina's aggressive call, he never could have made that play. This is the type of coverage Cardinals Kool-Aid consumers I can't take. This is fake news.
Yeah, and I read it and I thought, is someone getting paid to just include Yadi's name in this story? Because it's completely unnecessary for talking about that particular interchange during the game. But who knows? Maybe the writer was up in the press box and saw, no one else saw, Yadier Molina giving this bold signal to throw to the obvious base. You know, if a guy's headed toward third, it's probably a good idea if you're the shortstop, and that's where he was playing that day, to try to cut him off at third. I don't see how it's bold, but maybe everyone else was signaling to do something else, but Yadi told him to go to third. I don't know.
Well, anybody who's played baseball knows in a bang-bang play, usually the manager's yelling something out, players on the bench are saying throw to third, the shortstop's saying, I mean,
everybody.
But only Yadier Molina. She or this reporter was a he, heard from the press box Yadier Molina say, throw to third. And thus, the runner was out. And I've got that caveat off my chest. Back to email.
Was that in a game we lost or won?
We won that one.
Okay.
We won that one.
All right.
How much time did that take?
That was about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, too long. All right. This is an email we just received about 10 minutes ago. Hot off the press. Comes from Gary. Listening live from Denver to the guys talking about gun control. It sounds to me like you guys are actually advocating for Christians to kill other people in defense of their lives or their neighbors. Is not our sole purpose as Christians living 2,000 years after Christ to forgive, to love, to trust in God? It seems as if you're saying we should trust in ourselves, guns, the government, while saying that we trust in God. But that is not trusting in God. Even if it means our certain death from this life, what rights do we have to hurt or kill? We should forgive and pray for them even as we are dying, instead of pulling out our trusty pistol to take things into our own hands. Should we not? Thanks for listening in Denver, Gary.
First, a couple of responses. I don't think anyone during our conversation there with Dr. Russell Don was advocating that Christians ought to kill in defense of their neighbor. But there may be an opportunity, there may be a situation in which I think we're speaking more generally about calling to defend our neighbor. We are actually commanded to defend our neighbor in his body. We are. I mean, that's the fifth commandment, at least from the Lutheran perspective. The meaning of the fifth commandment, Luther makes it quite clear that not only are we commanded to not harm our neighbor in his body, but also to defend him in his body. That is to come to his defense. So that defense might imply the use of force. We don't do that in a country of laws and not men. We do not do that unilaterally. It may simply mean calling the police and letting the police carry out their God-given vocations to, on our behalf, defend our neighbor. But, you know, if you do see someone threatening your neighbor, what do you do? If you see the neighborhood toughs getting ready to put a beating on one of the little kids in the neighborhood, do you fall to your knees and begin to pray? Do you suggest to the little child that you better pray because you're going to take your beating? They're getting ready to wind up on you. Or do you go in and intervene, even at the risk of being harmed yourself? Because we are commanded to defend our neighbor from bodily harm. There's no two ways about that. No one was advocating that people go out and start shooting people or acting as vigilantes or on their own behalf. But I do want to take issue with one of the statements that the emailer made, and that is the sole purpose of Christians is to forgive and love. That is not the sole purpose. It is, we might call it the chief, the greatest purpose, the primary purpose, but it's not the only one. It's not exclusive. Forgiving and loving is not exclusive of all the other things that Christians are called to do. Christians are called to love, but that love takes the form of, well, in some cases, it might take the form of self-defense. If we went with this idea that our only purpose is to forgive and love and suffer whatever may come to us, regardless of what comes to us, why would you lock your doors at night? Why would you seek to keep your children safe from any kind of harm that may come to them? I mean, are you trusting God? I mean, I ask this facetiously, but are you trusting God when you lock your doors at night, or when you make sure your kids are strapped in, when you take them out on the highway, or you try and keep them from nefarious dangers in their life, when you warn them about not getting into vans with men dressed as circus clowns, right? No, you're simply carrying out, you are showing love for your children by seeking to defend them in their bodies as well. So we do not pit forgiveness and love against the rightful calling and commands of God with respect to defending our neighbors. Now, if you want to make the case that the Christian in conscience does not engage in any kind of self-defense, that is, not defending one's neighbor, but defending oneself. If someone wants to say, look, I'm a pacifist to the extent that as a Christian, I cannot defend myself when I am attacked or violently attacked, I have no problem with that, if that is where your conscience leads. I have no problem with that whatsoever. But when it comes to your neighbor, you have a clear word of God commanding you to protect him. As I said before, it may take the form of calling the police. It may take the form of stepping outside your house and saying, what's going on here? Or it may take the form of having to physically defend them from bodily harm. When we come back, we'll go through more of our listener email and the issues, et cetera, comment line. It's Thursday, July the 26th. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Communication's never been as easy as today. And it would make me happy when you've gone so far away. Send me an email that says I love you.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start. The foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The comment line is 618-223-8382. And our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Michael writes, I was wondering if you could do a talk on miracles, particularly with respect to Roman Catholicism. The Roman Catholic Church uses miracles just as Marian apparitions, Padre Pio having the stigmata, and bilocating in incorruptible saints as proof for Catholicism, and I'm interested in hearing a Lutheran response to these miracles. Thanks for listening, Michael.
The first thing that occurs to me is, Jeff, make a note, because that's probably a good, if we can get a hold of Pastor Parks in our ongoing series on responding to Roman Catholic proof texts, he might be able to come up with a text that is used by Roman Catholic apologists to support their view that miracles, modern-day miracles, verify those things that was mentioned there. So let's make a note of that to perhaps make that a future conversation with Stephen Parks in our series responding to Roman Catholic proof texts. The difference here is really, to use a fancy term, your epistemology. How do you know what you know? Where is truth? What is your source for truth, your authority for truth? The Roman Catholic context says, well, the source for truth is manifold. It is more than one thing. It is Scripture, but it is also the ongoing authority of the Church in its magisterium to continue to unfold and reveal truths from the Holy Spirit. And in addition to that, they would even add in this kind of stuff, like miracles in order to verify someone's sainthood, or miracles in order to bring some kind of revelation. The apparitions of Mary usually come with some kind of a revelation in these visions, and they're all over the place. So they have a traditional Tridentine Roman Catholicism. This is not what all Roman Catholics believe. A lot of them just doubt these things. They are not bound to believe them, I don't think, by Roman Catholic dogma. You don't have to believe that Mary appeared at Fatima. You don't have to believe that Mary appeared. We got a shrine just a stone's throw from here that Mary appeared here. You don't have to believe these things. But you can believe them. If you have a source of authority that is something other than Scripture alone, then really kind of the sky's the limit. Then you have opened up not only a few sources of authority, but you opened up almost any source of authority. It's not that different, to tell you the truth, from the claims of the miraculous that are in currency among Pentecostals or Charismatics or the new Apostolic Reformation movement. It's not that different. I don't know that Charismatics, Pentecostals, and adherents to the new Apostolic Reformation realize that they are treading the path straight back to medieval Roman Catholicism, but they are. They are as superstitious with respect to those miracles as any monk or nun from the 14th or 15th century would have been. They are. And is gullible, sad to say. Do we reject, if we believe in Scripture alone, do we reject that miracles can and on occasion do happen? No, not as a matter of principle. We don't reject the... God is certainly capable of continuing to work the miraculous. In fact, he does on a regular basis, just not the kind of miracles that people will put in the history books. He works the miracle of bringing dead men dead in their trespasses and sins to faith. He works the miracle of the transformation of the Christian sinner that he is into a new creation. That's a miracle. He continues to heal when and where he wills, but we simply do not put our trust in them or attach anything, any notion of truth to them beyond what Scripture would say. We don't claim any revelation in these things. We simply say God can, when and where he wills, continue to do these things. But we do not make them a source of authority or of teaching in the church. Someone says, I dreamed a dream. God gave me a revelation. You say, fine. Check it against what Scripture says. If it agrees, then God may or may not have spoken to you. Or maybe you were just remembering what Scripture said. If it disagrees with Scripture, that was not from God. We can be certain of that. So it comes down to that source of authority. But we'll try and get that as a subject for our conversation with Stephen Parks.
This is Louise in St. Louis. For the past 6 months, I have been undergoing chemotherapy for advanced stage ovarian cancer. I had prayed that I would be in remission by June so that I could attend the Issues, etc. conference. Besides loving the conferences I'd attended in the past, I really wanted to meet Hank Hanegraaff. You see, in my evangelical days, I had been one of his faithful listeners. But after finding Issues, etc. and Confessional Lutheranism, I wrote him a letter in 2013 to debate him on the real presence of Christ in the sacrament. Because of my exposure to Issues, I was able to make a case for the real presence in the Eucharist. But I never sent the letter. I continued to listen to him periodically on his program, but this time with an apologetic ear. Lo and behold, one day I heard him say he had become Eastern Orthodox and now believed in the real presence of Christ in communion. He lost a lot of listeners when he made his bold confession, and I'm sure you all took a lot of flack for having him as one of your speakers at the conference. Well, praise God, I am in remission for now, and not only was I able to go to the conference in June, but Hank Hanegraaff actually sat next to me in the pew. Yes, I had brought the letter I had written him in 2013 and was able to give it to him and told him the whole story. Then he and I shared our cancer journeys, and I have been praying for him ever since. Needless to say, the conference was wonderful, and God allowed me my heart's desire to be able to attend, and Lord willing, it won't be my last. Thank you, Issues, for blessing me.
Well, Louise, thank you very much. Thanks for coming to the conference. We are very thankful that you are in remission and continue to pray for you. Glad you had an opportunity to do one of the reasons we do the conference a couple times a year is to give our listeners an opportunity to meet and hear not only the speakers like Hank Hanegraaff, you can actually go and talk to him in person, have a conversation with him in person, but to meet and to greet one another as well. Your opportunity for that, by the way, is not far away. It's actually approaching rather quickly. We're going to be having our fall 2018 Making the Case Conference in Dallas, Texas on November 9th and 10th. You'll be able to meet and hear Anthony Eslin, Ryan Anderson, Mark Kaltoff, Beverly Yonke, Chris Rosebro, and Dr. John Warwick Montgomery. If you've ever wanted to talk to one of these guests in person, this will be your opportunity. It's Friday, November the 9th and Saturday, November the 10th in Dallas, Texas. You can learn more and register at issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or just give us a call here, 618-223-8385.
This comes from Jenny. She listens in Independence, Missouri. She actually carboned us on an email she sent to Dr. Andrew Bartelt of Concordia Seminary about our recent interview on the prophet Ezekiel. Jenny says, "Dear Dr. Bartelt, thank you for the interview that you had on issues, etc. You packed a lot of information into a short time, and I had to listen to it twice to even begin to absorb it. It was not only a great overview of Ezekiel, but you explained the context and how to interpret the book, which is just as important. I especially liked how you connected it all to Christ, the Messiah, as the final and only solution. I am thankful that you have the time and opportunity to teach the laity like this. We are so blessed to have issues, etc. I hope your students appreciate you and take every opportunity to learn from you." That's from Ginny in Independence, Missouri.
Oh, that's very good to hear. You know, that raises something, Jeff. Often we get the email here ourselves, and we pass it along to our guests, especially when it has something so nice to say like that one did, but also when there are questions that the guests can answer that we're just not either able to or have time to, we pass it on to the guests. But look, if you ever want to contact the guests here on Issues, Etc., you do not have to go through us. We appreciate it when you do. But if you have a question for that guest, you can find a lot of them online. You can go to lcms.org and look them up in the Find a Church directory, the ones that are members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and they'd be happy to respond to your email. I'm always surprised at how much the guests will give us time in an interview, and then when you send them an email, we'll get CC'd back on that email. Thorough, great answers from our guests talking back to our listeners.
More importantly, them contacting them themselves and thanking them for being on the show.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, lcms.org, click locators, and then find a worker, and then type the guest's last name. If they're a pastor or a church worker in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, other people you might have to Google how to find Mike Horton's email address or something like that. But we really appreciate when you personally thank. It's just, I in all the years, I think that's the first time I remember somebody carboning us, thanking a guest individually for being on the show. I've gotten guests who have responded and have carboned me, but she went out of her way to find Dr. Bartelt's email address and thank him for being on Issues, Etc. So we really appreciate that, Jenny. Scott, Pastor Wilkin, and Pastor Roseborough. I just wanted to drop a quick note thanking for all the great programming, but specifically, at least as it relates to the story below, this week in Pop American Christianity. This past Friday and Saturday, my wife and I attended a two-day adoption training course. Long story short, it's been a long road. Perhaps for future shows, it might be good to talk about infertility. We found Lutheran Church Missouri Synod materials to be rather underwhelming. There are a lot of interesting issues and close questions, such as whether a more ethical form of in vitro fertilization, no frozen embryos, no selective reduction, a phrase that made my skin crawl to hear it, is potentially acceptable. The organization we are working through is a Christian organization, and in what perhaps comes as no surprise, is more evangelical leaning. Listening to the speakers, I immediately recalled the conversations with Pastor Roseborough and was able to spot the narcissus. We all have our Gethsemane moments and dream destiny thingy. God has placed this on your heart and has this amazing plan for all of you to get the child he's picked just for you. Thankfully, with the tools you all have helped to give, we were immune to their non-scriptural ideas. There was much that was good about the training in the organization. I don't want to besmirch them. So we just wanted to say thank you and keep up the good work.
Well, we're happy to do that. And Pastor Chris Roseborough is a great asset as a guest on this program as often as he can be on to kind of, he's able to, I often say he's out there like the captain of a ship with his spyglass looking out on the horizon, seeing the stuff that's coming, and then describing it to us in a way that we can easily understand. And as you have recently learned, not only describe it to you, but also help you to recognize it yourself. That's the biggest thing. I mean, it doesn't do a lot of good if you aren't able to recognize these trends and these errors on your own. But when you are, after you've listened to great guests like Pastor Chris Roseborough, certainly helps you navigate those treacherous waters. And thank you very much for your response. When we come back, it's time to talk about contemporary worship. Is it really about attracting new members? Pastor Kevin Martin will answer that question right after this. If you come, I will answer. If you follow,
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword.
It can be tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Everything we hold dear seems to be under fire. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs. We need clarity amid the chaos, unchanging truth in a world of lies. The Lutheran Witness can help. Get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.